in a series right now called Live by the Spirit. It's from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But in the fourth chapter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul tells the Galatians that he labors for them in childbirth, that Christ would be formed in them. He wasn't looking for some half-hearted converts. He was wanting to see people become like Jesus. And that's what God wants for all of us, is that day by day, we are being conformed into the image of Jesus. But we can't possibly be like Jesus at all without the help of the Holy Spirit. We have to learn to live by the Spirit every day. In the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, you see so much of the character of the Lord Jesus. And as we learn to live by the Spirit, we see these things in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Today we're going to focus on goodness. The Bible word for goodness means uprightness of heart and life. It's the virtue of being virtuous. It's being intrinsically good on the inside, and it shows on the outside. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 12. He says in verse 33 and 34, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Make the tree good and its fruit good, he said. How do you make the tree good? Did you know we all have two family trees? That's right. One goes back to Adam. There really is only one race. And you can brag about your ancestry, but I got to tell you that all of us go back to Adam and Eve. That's one family tree. We have another family tree because if you are born again, you have been born of the Spirit of God. He really is our Father. And we need to realize that that family tree, it produces some different things in our life. This is what it produces in our life: goodness. As we allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and we live by the Spirit, we see, you see, that's how you change the tree. Make the tree good. How do you make the tree good? It's the Holy Spirit. And how do you have this good fruit? It's the Holy Spirit inside of us. That old nature, that old tree, amen, it produces bad fruit. The new nature, the Holy Spirit inside of the believer, that's what makes the tree good and makes the fruit good. So we live by the Spirit. We see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Now, goodness may not sound very exciting, but I want to tell you what a difference it can make in our lives and in our world. Oh, if we just had more of this. Anybody ever heard of a goody two-shoes? You know, that was a term we used to use for somebody that was a better person than you are. Yeah, that's how that got used, y'all. Some people say, well, you got to pay some people to be good, and other people, they're just good for nothing. Sorry. Anybody ever heard of a do-gooder? I want to be a do-gooder. You know why? Because Jesus was a do-gooder. The Bible says that he went about doing good. See, the world may make fun, but when you're doing good, you're being a little more like Jesus. When we talk about goodness, we're not talking about, you know, being good sometimes or doing some good things. We're talking about something on the inside, that we are intrinsically good. It's our nature to be good. Now, how can we possibly do that, have that in our life? It's the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. Even the worst can be good once in a while, maybe do something good. But to truly be good and have goodness in your life, it takes the Holy Spirit. You just can't do it on your own. Jesus said this in Mark 10:18, no one is good but one, that is God. You know, Jesus says a lot of things that I got to tell you, many believers don't believe. They disagree with Jesus. This is one of those. Because he says very plainly, no one is good but one, that is God. I accept that. My Savior said it. No one is good but God. That tells me that the biblical standard of good is way different from the world standard of good. When Jesus says no one but God is good, he's not talking about, you see, us doing some good things. He's talking about our very nature, that apart from him, we can't really be good. No one is good but God. But if God lives in you, you can be good. If the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding your life, you can be good. You can have the fruit of goodness in your life. And speaking of his old nature, the Apostle Paul says this in Romans 7:19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will to do, that I practice. He says, I want to do good. See, he's talking about in human effort alone. I want to do good, I end up not doing it. Can't do it just by sheer human effort. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit. Human effort just will fail again and again and again. Simply cannot really be good without God. Like a lot of words in the Bible, the word good, it kind of gets watered down just by our common use of the word. The adjective good, we use it to describe a whole lot of things, like a good cup of coffee, right? I mean, or a good night's sleep. Did you get one last night? I did. First one I had this week. I was thankful. Oh, that's good. You know how you know the difference is, it's relative. We make it relative in a way. It's like a comparison thing. I mean, I've had the bad night's sleep, so man, when I have a good, I see a big difference. Just like cars, you know, there's a good car. You know how you can really know you got a good car is if you've had a bad one, you know the difference, right? And we use it as a comparative term, a relative term like that a lot of the time. I mean, there's a convenience store that's hiring a new manager, and a young man hears about this position, and it pays $65,000 a year, and he says, oh man, that's a really good salary. And then there's a middle-aged executive who's been making over $100,000 a year, and he hears about that position, and he says, oh, that's no good. I'm just telling you, we make good. We use it all the time as a comparison. Well, this is good. It's better than that. And we use it as a relative thing. But when it comes to God and it comes to us doing good, we got to understand that it's not just a comparative thing. I mean, everybody's good compared to somebody. This is one of the things that goes on a whole lot in the religious world today, is that, well, I might not be perfect, but I'm better than those people. Some people think that kind of thinking is going to get them into heaven, but it won't. I mean, you can always find somebody that's worse, right? Even if you have to, everybody's better than Hitler. I mean, compared to Hitler, everybody's good, right? I don't know, there's some crazy people in our world now that want to say he wasn't bad. But anyway, I'm just saying though, if you make it a comparison thing, like, yeah, we're all good if you're just going to compare with other people. But we need to understand the kind of goodness that we're talking about. Our God sets the standard. He is good. Goodness comes from God. Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you've laid up for those who fear you. It's great. Psalm 33:5. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It's out there. It's full of the goodness of the Lord. Don't let all the evil and the darkness of this world blind you to the goodness of God that is in our world each and every day. It is so much a part of God's character. We sang that song this morning about his glory. He's glorious. You know, Moses asked to see the glory of the Lord. And so the Lord said, I will pass by and let you see all my goodness. And I want to tell you, we need a fresh revelation of the goodness of God, because he is so good to us all the time. We just need our eyes open. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He really is. And we need to be testifying. We need to be, you know, make this the attitude of our heart and life, that you need to know the Lord, because it is so good to know the Lord. Amen. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Even when you're going through a hard time, I want to tell you, if you'll keep looking forward to the goodness of God, you're going to be all right. It's going to show up. David said in Psalm 27:13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, when it gets really hard, you know what? You'll just want to give up unless you believe that you're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Well, I want to tell you, you see, God is good to us. That means he does good things to us. And if we have goodness in our life, it will bless others. We'll do good things to others. I want to remind you, we have a new nature. We're a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, God formed us. Sin deformed us. And Christ transforms us as a new creation. We're not just retrained or rehabilitated. We're transformed. And listen to what he says that he created us for. It's Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You'll notice he didn't say, created in Christ Jesus so we won't do bad things. Well, of course, but that's not what he says here. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our Father created us to do good things. He designed us to do good things. And when we are fulfilling the purpose of God in our life, doing good things, I want you to know that is a life of joy and fulfillment. When you do what God has created you to do, it's an amazing life. You know, a lot of people, they just focus, when it comes to good, they just tend to focus on not being bad. I mean, we tell our kids, now be good. And most of the time, what we really mean, don't be bad. Don't do anything that's going to embarrass me. Don't get in trouble. Be good. But I want you to understand that, yes, the Bible tells us a lot of things that we shouldn't do. But there's more to being good scripturally than just not being bad. No, to be good, to have goodness in your life. See, with God, it doesn't just mean that God ain't going to do bad things to us, does it? No. We wouldn't think that was goodness at all. He's good to us because he does good to us. Right? I mean, we understand this. And if we're going to be good in this world, we got to do those good works. We got to do good to others. We have to be a blessing. They have to be better off because they crossed our path. That's when we have real goodness in our life. Do good. It ought to be seen in every area of our life. You know, these are just some simple things. Some of these are you don't do the bad thing, and some of these are you do the good thing, but goodness is when everybody else cheats, you don't. Goodness is you tell the truth even when it's going to cost you. Goodness is when nobody is looking, you still do the right thing. Goodness is doing the right things for the right reasons. Sometimes people do the right thing, but the motives of their heart are wrong. Goodness is not having anything bad to say about somebody, but it's also having something uplifting and encouraging to say instead. Goodness is leaving others a little better off because you cross their path. It's being a blessing. See, and if we have goodness in our lives, yeah, we're not going to do harm to others. But it's more than just the absence of evil. It is a positive force that causes us to do things to make a difference in other people's lives. James 4:17. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And we, as a child of God, as a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, we need to always remember this. It is not enough to just not do the wrongs. There are things that we are supposed to do, and if we don't do those things, it is just as much of a sin as if we did the wrong. To him that knows to do good, you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. But if you walk in the Spirit, I tell you, he will lead you to do good. He'll cause you to bless others. You just got to follow his leading. In Acts 10:38, it sums up the ministry of Jesus this way. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, the goodness of God that was in Jesus, it benefited everybody who encountered him. And I want to tell you, if we have this goodness in us, we'll go about doing good like Jesus did. It's not just some little nice part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is a powerful part of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through us. It's the Holy Spirit being a blessing to others through us in some tangible way. You see, our family, our co-workers, your classmates at school, your neighbors, your enemies ought to be blessed in some way by having been a part of your life. You know, I've had some good examples of goodness. One of the main ones I always think of is my grandmother. Carmen and I, we just kind of consider her, she was almost like a saint or something. She was such a good person. But a little bit of her background story. When she was 21, she met my grandfather and they got married, and what a sweet love story. But his first wife had passed away and left him with 6 kids. She took those 6 kids and treated them and raised them as her very own, just as much as the 1/7 that was her biological child. But even in her older years, she just lived to serve and to be a blessing to other people. She served at her church. She constantly cooked meals for people. She made things for everybody. She would take her friends to the doctor and sit, you know, hours while they waited, and then while they were with the doctor. This was just a regular part of her life. It's just the way she did for others to be a blessing to others. I'm just telling you, though, you see, if we have this goodness in our life, it makes a huge impact on the way we live and the way we treat other people, that they are blessed for having known us. Goodness. See, it'll change the way you treat people. And it shows in us doing good. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. It says, "Do not be deceived." A lot of deceived people in this world. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, what's the flesh? It's that old nature. If he sows to the flesh, he will reap of the flesh corruption. Just gets worse. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. It tells us in Galatians 5, it's about this fruit of the Spirit in our life, what the Spirit produces in our life. And here he tells us, in chapter 6, that we're going to reap. We're going to reap a harvest. If we sow to that old nature, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, we reap life, more life. And then he talks about us being good. Let us not grow weary in doing good. You know, he tells us this because a lot of the time, if we allow ourselves, we just get tired. We try to do good for a while and we just get weary. I want to tell you, you have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. But we have to persevere. We can't give up. We have to just keep doing good. Verse 10, he says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. There's three things I want us to look at here. How often should we do good? As we have opportunity. We have opportunities all day, every day, in some form or fashion. There's some kind of an opportunity for us to do good. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Who are we going to do good to? All. Not just our four and no more, not just our friends, not just our brothers and sisters in the Lord. No, we're supposed to do good to all. I love this. John Wesley said, do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can and all the times you can to all the people you can as long as you ever can. So yes, you do good to all. We keep coming back to this passage in Matthew chapter 5, but in verse 44 of Matthew 5, Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies. You know, I've known a lot of Christians who said, oh yeah, I love everybody, even my enemies, I love them. And you know what, it's easy to say that, we may not do it, but it's easy for us to think somehow that we do it. And then he says, bless those who curse you. Oh, Lord, I bless them. That's really easy, isn't it? I mean, it may not be sincere, but it's easy to do that. And the last part, he says, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Lord, I pray for them in Jesus' name that you'd get them. Amen. I mean, I prayed for them, God. But you see, this one part where he says, do good to those who hate you, there's just not really a way to get around this. Do good to those who hate you? This is the hard part of this message this morning. If we have this goodness in our life, you see, it's not about how good they are. It's about the goodness of God in us. And we are good to those who hate us. You see, and we can't just say we do it. Because here's the thing, he's telling us to do an action, do good to those who hate you. There's no way around this. Now, all of us, sooner or later, we get to experience hate. You know, I'm just going to tell you, me personally, I have never actually experienced hate from an atheist. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I know that it does. I see it in our world, but it's never actually happened to me. And I've never experienced hate from a Muslim. It certainly happens a lot in our world. Horrible hate and persecution of Christians, sometimes by Muslims. I'm well aware of that. I just have never experienced it. In fact, all of the hate that I personally have experienced in my life, it came from Christians. And I still go to church, y'all. Isn't that amazing? But here's what we're supposed to do with that when we're mistreated. And hate it, do good to them. This all started really early on for me when I was just a very young man, 19 or 20 years old, before I was in full-time ministry. I worked at a bank, and worked as a teller in the drive-thru. And you know, there'd be times at the drive-thru it was just crazy fast and busy. But then there were some times that just there weren't any cars. And so we would pull out something to read. And I worked with a couple of ladies. One would read a Harlequin, one would read a People magazine, and it wasn't that I was just super spiritual, but I just wanted to know more of the Word of God, so I pulled my Bible out and I just start reading. I was shy and quiet, never brought the subject up, but they would ask me questions about the Bible, and one day, I guess I didn't realize how foolish I was being to answer their questions, but one of them started asking me a question about submission and what I believe, and I've quoted some verses and told them what I believe, and the next thing I know, I'm getting called in by the big boss and told not to talk about my religion anymore because I was causing trouble. Now, I got to tell you, if you asked those two ladies who were churchgoers, they would have said, oh, no, we don't hate you. But it sure did feel like hate to me when they were trying to get me fired. But I'm just telling you, all my life, it's kind of been that way. I mean, Carmen and I got to tell you, when I say that you are the sweetest group of people, I mean that from my heart. I don't just say that to your face. I talk about you that way behind your back all the time. This is a wonderful church with sweet, loving people, and I thank God for you. Remember that comparison thing? Because I know the other. I've had the other. I've experienced the other. We can tell you what it feels like to walk down the hall of the church and feel the hate. And here's what the Lord says about all that. Do good to those who hate you. This is powerful. It's life-changing for you, but also for others. We live in a wicked, evil world, but we can't allow the world and the influence of the world on our old nature to control us. Instead, we got to be sensitive to the Spirit and allow Him to lead and guide us. We don't just react to the world, but we respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit and how He wants us to respond. In Romans 12, 21, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do you overcome evil? With good. Listen, you don't overcome hate with hate. That doesn't work. You don't overcome anger with more anger. That doesn't work. You don't overcome evil with more evil. That doesn't work. In fact, when someone does evil to you, when someone wrongs you, there's a sense of human justice where we feel justified in doing wrong, doing evil back to them. That's just fair. It seems right. It might feel right. But here's the truth of Scripture. When you respond with wrong, with evil, you have been overcome with evil. You overcome evil with good. This is how we respond to evil. The Holy Spirit in us helps us to do good in return. Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith, especially those who are our brothers and sisters, our church family. We should go, he says especially, so we need to go out of our way to do good to our brothers and sisters. There's an attitude in religious America that, well, you know, I'm tight with Jesus. I don't really need to have anything to do with a church, with those people. It is a lie from the pit of hell, a deception of Satan, to weaken the body of Christ and to isolate people. We need each other. And we are especially to do good to our brothers and sisters, those of the household of faith. And I think I've made this pretty clear. Sometimes they're not perfect. Sometimes they do things wrong. Sometimes they will mistreat you. And you can get all deceived and feel self-righteous and say, I'm not going to be with those hypocrites anymore. Or you can do what the Lord Jesus, our Savior, says, and you can forgive them and do good to them. Back to verse 9 one last time. There's something we need to pick up here. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. I'll tell you, this is a wonderful promise from God. You will reap if you don't give up. But you got to sow. You see, you sow doing good, and God says that you're going to reap it. And I want to explain a little bit how this works. If you go plant some seeds in a garden, I'm not talking about you go get half-grown plants at the nursery. I'm talking about if you get some seeds and you plant those in the garden and a little water and some sunshine, and before long, some plants will start to sprout, and you just keep waiting and watering, and you wait some more, and eventually you get a harvest. And we're talking about sowing and reaping. We're talking about doing good, and God promises us that we're going to reap a harvest. You can't go out and do a little good here and there and say, where's my harvest? It doesn't come the next day. It doesn't come the next week. Sometimes it doesn't come next month, and not even this year. But we have this promise. You do good. And our Father says that we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. In Ephesians 6:8, it says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. Whatever good anyone does. Take his promise. Stand on it. Believe it. He will receive the same from the Lord. Then it says, whether he is slave or free, employer or employee, student or teacher, parent or child. Doesn't matter what your walk in life, what your place is. The promise is, whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. Sometimes we look for good from other people, but I got to tell you, you can count on God that he'll see to it that you receive good. For whatever good you do, you'll receive the same from the Lord. Nobody can do you good like Jesus can. In Psalm 23:6, David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will tell you, if we allow the Spirit to lead and guide us, we can see his goodness in our life every day. But we got to cultivate this fruit. We need to remember, we can't have this fruit of goodness in our life just by human effort. We're relying on the Holy Spirit. We're following his leading in our life. Because you can still be that old person if you want to. You got to choose to live by the Spirit. That's why it says live by the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. It's a choice. You got to decide. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to listen to the Spirit today and allow him to lead and guide me. Next, we got to spend time with the Lord. Now, we all know, you know, the Bible says that if you hang out with the wrong kind of people, it'll influence you. And we all know that. Well, you need to understand that when you hang out with good people, it'll influence you to be good. But when you're hanging out with Jesus, it's not just a little influence, it's transformation. You know, I read this in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, the more that we are with him in prayer, the more we're with him in worship and in his word, the more that we are being transformed into that same image. We're becoming more and more like him. Next, realize it's so important what you allow in your heart. Jesus Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. So you can be a Christian and go to church, but you put garbage in your heart, evil is going to come out. He says the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. It's important what you're putting in your heart. And in the day and the hour that we live in this generation, I think it's more critical than ever that we realize this, because there's evil all around, all kinds of evil influences. All of the media, the internet, all of this gives us the opportunity to be impacted by evil. It's so important what you listen to, what you watch, what you look at, what you think about, because the evil, the garbage that gets in your heart, that's what's going to come out. Jesus makes it very clear. The good treasure, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. So fill your heart with the word of God. Put good things into your heart. Last, remember, it is the Holy Spirit that makes the tree good. Good. Goodness is not just an action or an act. It's something changed in who we are, and it comes from the heart. The scripture tells us about one good man in Acts chapter 11. It tells us that Barnabas was a good man. In verse 24, it says this, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith." You know why he was a good man? He was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that can make you a good man, a good woman, a good young person, and have this fruit of goodness in your life. He was full of the Holy Spirit. See, we don't need just a little touch of the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need the fullness of the Spirit. And Jesus said that it's the Father's good pleasure to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And I just encourage you this morning one more time. You cannot by human effort have this kind of goodness in your life. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.